Mr. Stagg, question for you. Can these two be taken in tandem?
I believe I can. Yes, there's a little nuance between the two of them, but I think I can brief them together. I would suggest you might want to vote on them separately.
We will vote on them separately. And I'll also have a comment in opposition when the time comes. The lady was here earlier and has sent me an email, so I will read that into the record when the appropriate time comes.
So you have before you today two applications, both by Mr. David Johnson. I'm going to give you a letter that was submitted. Well, I'm going to wait for the next one to give you that.
Okay.
These were both applied for at basically the same time. The first one is located just outside and into the mouth of the Hampton River. The majority of it is actually in Hampton Roads. It is protested by the city of Hampton, and it's to note that it's also in a restricted area by the health department for shellfish harvest, which means the area could be used for relaying, but it's not. You cannot directly harvest shellfish from the area for direct market.
Where's the nearest relay area where it would go to? Could go to? How far away?
I will cover that. Mr. Johnson does have other leases
mm-hmm.
that he could relay to.
Okay, then proceed with your presentation.
Back river.
Okay.
So the location of this application is, this is clam ground. The location of the first application is right here. This is Hampton Road, Bridgetown, Fort Monroe. We'll be moving someday, I hope. and wraps along the shoreline here where the old Strawberry Banks Hotel used to be and into the mouth of Hampton River and into this tributary. The second application is this one to the north. A little closer view of topo map. Again, first application in this location. Just a different view of it with aerophotography. Kind of wraps around the Hampton River Medical Center. Still the Strawberry Banks Hotel. We did receive this application in June of 2014. It was protested not long after by the city of Hampton. We did subject this to our normal public interest review. And again, I'll note that it is the entire area is within restricted water classification by the Department of Health Shellfish Sanitation Division. As some commissioners may remember who've been on the commission for a while, the commission adopted a regulation back in 2015 that would prohibit the Engineering Surveying Department from accepting any new applications for shellfish leasing in waters that are classified as restricted by the Health Department. The rationale at the time for that regulation of suspending such application acceptance was based on several factors, which included allowing such areas to serve as rootstock for shellfish management and recruitment, increased protection of public health, and the recognition that the relay permitting process required a considerable amount of law enforcement time and resources to administer, often at the expense of other Marine Patrol police responsibilities. Staff did note at the time the regulation was adopted that we did have a number of pending applications that predated the regulation that were within restricted water classifications. The commission basically directed staff to bring any of those previous ones to the commission on a case-by-case basis. This one, of course, does predate that regulation. As part of the commission's direction to staff for these previous ones, they also directed staff to notify all the current pending applications in restricted waters that a new regulation had been passed and that they would be brought to the commission on a case-by-case basis. But that if they were willing to just go ahead and withdraw it, and we did bring up the numbers since then, and the commission has yet to approve one. There's been a lot of different people come and offer different reasons why they think the commission should allow them to lease in a polluted area. So far, the commission hasn't done that. So we're continuing to bring these. This one's just been hung up with the protest and other more pressing issues, and the applicant wasn't really pushing to have it heard. But we did notify the applicant on a number of occasions, offering to him, if he would withdraw the application, that the commission would then reimburse any such applicant for the cost of the public notice that had run in the newspaper. Mr. Johnson was offered that a couple times. He has indicated he wanted to continue to seek a hearing and have his day before the commission to seek to continue to lease this area. In his use plan for this particular application, the applicant indicated he would use both traditional shelling of the bottom or cultivate existing resources that might already be there. For this application, he also indicated it might be used for clam cultivation. And again, I'll note that the applicant does have other leases, so he could relay from these areas if it was leased. This particular slide shows the submerged aquatic vegetation. As you know, we adopted recently the commission a policy concerning this and leasing and permitting, where we attempt to avoid leasing areas that have had coverage over the last 5 running year period. So what you see here is the 2017 coverage, and the line that's outside of that, that's not colored, is the composite 2011 through 15. So at some or all of those years, there was SAV in these areas, and then the colored area is the actual 2017 coverage. The color is the different densities. So a large portion of this application has SAV. So right there, we would recommend not leasing those portions, even if this was not restricted waters. The City of Hampton did protest this application. We received a letter from the city manager dated October 22, 2014, with a number of concerns. They noted that leasing in the area could adversely impact both existing and future efforts of the city to conduct or expand boating and recreational interests that are a key economic viability to both Phoebus, Fort Monroe, and downtown Hampton. They further noted that the Hampton Cup Regatta, establishment of a sailing center at Fort Monroe to the east, as well as multiple boating regattas and water shows regularly hosted in the Hampton River could be adversely affected. So I'm going to jump to the next one, and then I'll give you the summary and recommendation for both of them. This is the restricted, just so you know, all of this hatched area is the restricted water classification. So big chunk of Hampton Roads on up towards where we are right now in this building to the west, and all of Hampton probably in restricted status.
Commissioner Rooney? Commissioner Rooney?
Yes.
Just on that last slide, too late.
This one has the same, okay. Sort of the same slide, so. Oops. Does this one work?
I just had a question about some of the different colors, but I'm sure we'll get back to it. It's fine.
Go back to this. So the second application, also received on June 4th, 2014, was for approximately 200 acres. And this is entirely within the Hampton River and some ancillary tributaries. This one was also protested by the City of Hampton. It was also protested by the Downtown Hampton Development Partnership and a private citizen. Again, this is entirely within the restricted water classifications, too. So I received just yesterday new letters from both the Downtown Hampton Development Partnership and the City of Hampton protesting. Renewed protests for both of these applications, so they're not in your packet, so we'll have time to put those in. And I'll discuss it a little bit more in just a minute. So again, larger view of the area. This is the application in Hampton River, a little closer view of the topo map, aerophotography. Again, it starts here, just inside the mouth, and runs all the way up to the in this slide, the red depicts the restricted water classification that was hatched in the previous one. The one slight difference with this application was, while we did submit this to our normal public interest review, we did discover in getting this ready for the commission meeting that no ad was ever run for this second application. We did send them both to the newspaper. And it's still unclear to us why the ad didn't run. We don't know if it was the newspaper's fault or whether the applicant never paid for it. So there was no public newspaper advertisement. We did post it in the area as we were required back then before the law changed in a number of spots and the courthouse. Of course, we do it a little bit differently now. So if you were to deem moving forward with this one for leasing, we would require that an ad has to run for this to meet the code requirement at the time this was received. Again, the same thing applies to this application related to restricted waters. I just told you the previous regulation that was passed and the case by case. On this particular application, Mr. Johnson was also offered, I think at the time, we thought he had paid for the ad, so he was offered the right to withdraw and he would be reimbursed. Obviously, here there would be no reimbursement considered because it appears a newspaper ad was never published. On the use plan questionnaire for this application, there's a slight error in the evaluation. He did say he was going to use traditional methods and cultivate existing resources. He did not mention that he would try clam cultivation, and this one has stated in here. I think this would be just for oysters. Again, he does have other leases he could relay to. So in light of recent commission action about accepting these applications in restricted waters and the rationale for that decision, the staff has reservations recommending leasing of any of these such pending applications for the same reason that the policy and the regulation was previously adopted. Due to this policy and the protest already received, staff has not surveyed either one of these areas because it would take a lot of manpower to survey this one, particularly with the amount of area he's suggesting to lease. If the commission would deem moving forward with this, obviously this one would have to have a newspaper ad, and we would have to survey both of these applications. This could result in a new protest, almost certainly would, I think, if people start seeing stakes brought up. If that didn't occur and the commission wanted to move forward, then we could administratively assign these leases. If it's protested, and if you want us to move forward and we do survey and it's protested, we'd obviously have to bring it back to the commission again for further review based on any new protest. Again, you have both the previous letter from the city and the downtown partnership. There was also a letter from a private citizen opposing the application. And you can see the rationale for that in the letter. The Downtown Hampton Development Partnership letter did say they noted possible adverse impacts to the use of numerous marinas in the area and to other public events held downtown that resulted in a large number of boats in the area. They further stated that many boats anchor in these areas and that could create a potential liability if shellfish beds were leased by boating activity and setting of anchors, as well as the potential for conflicts with shellfish harvesting activities if a lot of the area was being used to moor boats. In a letter in 2015, Clarion Newbird also expressed concerns that leasing the area could have a detrimental effect on ecology and environmental health of the waters and expressed concerns about whether it was economically viable to go through the expense of relaying shellfish from the area to a clean area before harvest. She also noted the potential for shellfish illnesses if contaminated shellfish were consumed from the area. And in the most recent letter from the city, you will note a number of bullet points in there of nukes. Some are new concerns and some new ones. They do talk about notification process and that they felt that they weren't properly notified. I did respond back when I got this email to them, this letter by email with an email addressing some of these concerns, which aren't necessarily germane to this application, informing them that the law has changed on notification. So in the future, any application in Hampton, they would be notified as well as any landowner within 200 feet, and that we process them and public notice them slightly differently than we did in the past. They also had concerns about the restricted water classification, and you see the number of bullets in there. And I'm trying to address those issues sort of separately with the city. They asked a couple of things that we, if we did lease in here, that we restrict the use of cages, which we allow cages on leases up to 12 inches off the bottom. I did inform them that would require a change in the regulation, and it might have to be specific to the city of Hampton, and that would require a public hearing to do that. But that since this is restricted, we won't be accepting any new applications here, and there's only a few existing leases in Hampton River. They're hard to see on this map, but there's a couple of regular leases still in Hampton River that people have been able to hang on to. I know of no activity on them that I know of. They also ask that we restrict leasing anywhere near the shoreline to protect anybody who wanted to do a shoreline erosion project. And I said, well, the only people who could lease in this river now are riparian landowners, because the code says, as a riparian landowner, you have the right to a riparian if you own the frontage. Restricted water classification is overridden by the code, so you can still get a riparian lease in the Hampton River. However, if you are the owner of the property and want to do a shoreline erosion project, then and you had a riparian lease, I don't think you'd oppose your own shoreline project. So I don't think that's really an issue here. And again, those are the only type lease applications we will continue to accept here in Hampton River, as long as it remains restricted, which I don't think that's going to change, according to what the health department's told me. So in light of that, for both applications, we do acknowledge that the applicant did apply before the commission adopted the regulation where we'd not no longer accept applications in restricted classified waters. However, we do believe, in light of the concerns of both the City of Hampton and the Downtown Hampton Partnership and a private citizen, that these and the restricted classification of the waters, that leasing in this area is not in the best interest of the Commonwealth pursuant to 28.2607 of the Code of Virginia. And we do recommend denial of both applications. Should the commission deem it is in the best interest of the Commonwealth to lease any or some of these areas, we would proceed with surveying the application and obviously advertising one in Hampton River. If that were the case and no protest was received after the surveying, 30 days after the survey, then we could administratively assign the application, or protested, we would have to bring it back to the commission for further evaluation.
Okay. Before we do that, I'll read this one letter of concern from Claire Newbert. A few years ago, I wrote a letter of concern when this application for oyster lease on the Hampton River was initially submitted. At that time, the lease was denied. As I understand, the VMRC decided not to approve oyster leases on condemned waterways like the Hampton River, so I'm surprised to see it come before the board again and grateful that VMRC notified me. Since that first denial, there's been a considerable investment in the Hampton River and its watershed. This includes a $200,000 National Fish and Wildlife Foundation grant for the Hampton watershed. We have increased in the number of oysters, oyster gardeners, oyster restoration efforts, sanctuary reef, and overall awareness and appreciative of our rivers and waterways. Although the grant recently ended, the momentum continues. Hampton University is continuing to study and restore oysters in the Hampton River. We see progress, and yet, like the rest of our bay, our progress is fragile. It has taken countless hours by various groups and volunteers like myself to do this work. I have concerns about oyster leases and how it could negatively affect our little remaining brood stock and our restoration efforts. I ask that you uphold your policy of not allowing oyster leases on condemned waterways. Thank you very much for notifying me that this is before the board again. I greatly appreciate your outreach and the opportunity to speak. Very sincerely and respectfully, Claire Newbert.
That was the letter that was in your packet. Just to clarify, this was never denied initially. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of been sitting.
She said she never submitted it. She said she wrote it. She didn't have time to wait around and wrote it. It's a different, what's the same one anyway.
We did get a letter from in the past. We did get that.
Okay, well.
She was just a little bit in error about that. We never denied this at all. Just that never come through.
All good. Any questions of Mr. Stagg on this application? Seeing none, thank you. Is the applicant present or represented? Is the applicant present or represented?
We did send Mr. Johnson a notification.
Seeing none, the matter is before the commission. For action. Mr. France.
Move to accept staff recommendations.
Motion made to accept staff recommendation. Second by Mr. Minor. Mr. Stagg.
One question, this always comes up with these. He did pay for one newspaper ad. I made repeated attempts by letter and talked to him on the phone about withdrawing. if he'd withdrawn, we would have, but some of these that have come before the commission still granted a reimbursement for the newspaper.
I say no. The commission can overrule me, but from an administrative perspective and as a commissioner agency head perspective, my position is we spent all this time, effort, and money to make this presentation come to fruition, and he didn't show up. Does anybody on the commission think we should give him his money back at this juncture?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
I'm not fine with it. I just want to clarify.
Fine. Motion made and second. Yes, sir. Dr. Neal.
Clarification of the motion. Is this for both applications?
That's right. We need to vote on them separately. Did you suggest that, Ben?
The council can advise you.
Separately.
You can do them separately or together.
My motion was for both applications, but I will change it to the first application.
Okay. Motion made by
Mr. France to accept staff recommendation on item number 2014261.
And who made the second on that? Mr. Jaded? Mr. Minor?
Mm-hmm.
Motion made and seconded. Is there further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Thank you. Next item is item 2014262.
Motion to accept staff recommendation.
Motion made to accept staff recommendation and deny the application. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Minor. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carries unanimously.